Now we're going to start the discussion on the fifth chapter, which is preparing for the interview from the employer's perspective. It's extremely important that we follow the perspective of the person who's going to induct us into the company. So there are certain prerequisites that are there, which we shall study this chapter. Let's look at the objectives first. So after going through this chapter, you will be able to understand the pre-interview and during the interview preparation, post-interview process, essential tips for interview preparation, broad types of interview questions, and essential tips for telephonic interview. So there are some easy steps that you can take that will increase your chances of success at the interviews. First, remember that the job interviews should be a process of two-way communication. Not only are they a tool for employers to use to evaluate you, but they are also an opportunity for you to assess the job, the organization, and to see if there is the right fit. So it's extremely important to know this. The keys to a successful interview are preparation and practice. In fact, if you've noticed, there are a lot of areas where these things are repeated only to have them reinforced in your minds. So wherever there are repetitions, we'll quickly run through these. The following suggestions will help you prepare for an interview. The very first suggestion is that of a self-evaluation. It is important for you to think about yourself and your past experiences in order to be ready to articulate what you have to offer to an employer. So you should be able to reflect or introspect in yourself as to what key qualities, key experiences, key accomplishments you have, and so you could mention these to the job interviewer. In this context, you need to consider the following topics as a part of the self-evaluation process: how your present and past experience relate to the position, your current and future career goals, what skills and expertise you have to offer, the skills that you would like to develop or improve, location, salary, and lifestyle priorities, kinds of people and environment that you prefer, past experiences you want to highlight, such as volunteer work, certain hobbies, or things relating to travel. In the pre-interview preparation, four important aspects are prerequisites so that the employer or the interviewer gets a good impression of you. In fact, we've discussed this in the previous chapter, they being researching the company, practicing or rehearsing for interviews, dressing professionally, and arriving on time. So quickly run through them. A company's website is an excellent place to begin. It usually gives you information on whether it's international or domestic, what its revenues are, how many locations it has, and the nature of its major products. Most companies are very proud of their websites. Don't be surprised if one of the first questions the interviewer asks when you arrive is, "Have you had a chance to look at our website?" The next is the rehearsal or practicing of the interviews. In this context, write down a list of possible questions that you think may be asked. Then have a friend act as an interviewer and direct them to you in a practice interview session or a mock interview session. Don't stop until you feel comfortable answering each question. Practicing beforehand will make you feel more comfortable and relaxed during the interview. The next part is to dress professionally. In today's environment, wearing a suit isn't always necessary. Contact the HR manager of the company or your recruiter and find out what dress code is for the company at which you're going to the interview. Then dress one level above. For instance, if it's a business casual, men can wear dress pants, dress shirts and sports coats. Women can wear a pantsuit dress or a skirt and blouse. Visual impressions are extremely or very important. Therefore, if in doubt, always dress on the conservative side. Again, another point which had been discussed, we'll discuss more in length, is the arrival. Try to arrive at the interview location a little bit early. Okay, 15 to 20 minutes is the preferred time that you should arrive before the interview. This gives you time to determine where you need to go and will give you a few minutes to collect your thoughts. Do not arrive late. Nothing destroys your chance at impressing an employer more than arriving late and offering no explanation for this. If you learn at the last minute that you're going to be arriving late at the interview, call and let the interviewer know. Interviewers understand things can come up suddenly. You are never considered late if you call and make them aware of the fact. Well, we've discussed this before. It's important to be a part of the discussion here at this juncture as well, that the first impressions take only 30 seconds. Establishing rapport, direct and sustained eye contact, a firm handshake, a warm smile, good posture, and introducing yourself in a confident manner are the important ingredients. A well-groomed professional appearance is also critical. Greet the interviewer with a firm handshake, whether it's a woman or a man. Smile. A smile denotes confidence in a candidate. Try to smile often. Also, don't be afraid to use some hand animation while answering questions. This suggests enthusiasm in a candidate. Well, hand animation is, you can use it for emphasis, to state your point. You can use it, bring impact, supplement a point. So these are all hand gestures which can be called as hand animations. The next two elements of preparation are the body language and a clear articulation. Use good posture and look the interviewer straight in the eye. Sit up straight, never slouch. In the context of speaking clearly, don't mumble. Mumble is when you do not articulate clearly, when you don't have the required amount of clarity. This portrays a lack of confidence. So speak with assurance, which indicates confidence. The next element is listen before answering. So in this context, allow the employer to begin the interview, but be prepared with some opening statements or questions such as, I understand that this position involves, or what are you looking for in a job candidate? Make sure you understand the question, if not, ask the interviewer to clarify it. Don't be afraid to take some time to think before answering. Interviewers are impressed with someone who thinks out an answer before speaking. In this context, give brief answers. Make your answer concise and to the point. Rambling tends to suggest that you really don't have answers to the questions asked. Preparation during the interview is discussed here. So previous employers never say ever anything negative about present or previous employers. We know why. No matter how much you may have disliked someone, find a way to give your experiences a positive spin. Also, be truthful. Don't lie when asked about something you haven't done. Okay? Know your resume. Be prepared to talk about every fact that is on your resume. Many people embellish their accomplishments on their resumes. Avoid this, since the only point of reference an interviewer has about you is the resume you provide to him or her beforehand. Keep things at a professional level. Sometimes near the end of an interview, the two parties start feeling comfortable with each other. Don't let this comfortable feeling lead you to telling them something about yourself that they really shouldn't know. Always keep things at a professional level. The next aspect is look for something in common. This is extremely important because a person will always hire a person who's like them and will never hire a person who's completely different. So this is something that has given us an edge in the past. Try to find a common bond between yourself and your interviewer. If you're being interviewed in an office, look at how the office is decorated. Look for something you can identify with. Interviewers sometimes feel more comfortable with people with whom they have something in common. This approach has helped several candidates obtain a position over other qualified or better qualified candidates. Above all, in this, be sincere. Now let's take a look at the post-interview process. Okay, you need to understand when they could get back in touch with you. So ask the interviewer in this context when he or she expects to get back to you on her or his decision. Get everyone's business card. So before you leave, be sure to get the business cards of all the people with whom you've visited. If you cannot do that, ask a secretary for their names and email addresses. Also important, it is the process of thanking the interviewer. So verbally thank the interviewer for taking the time to interview you before leaving. In fact, this is one thing which we've already discussed in the previous chapter. Within a day, send thank you letters to all the interviewers with whom you spoke. This does not need to consist of a written letter sent via snail mail. An emailed thank you works just as well. The next element is do not give up. Sometimes within 10 minutes of the start of an interview, you will know that the job is not one you want to pursue. If you begin to feel this way, don't give up on the interview. Continue to interview as if the job was the most important thing in the world. This provides you with the practice for your next interview, which may be your dream job. Not all interviews will lead to offers of employment, but if you want to approach every interview as if it's the most important interview you've ever had, you will come out as a winner. Now let's take a look at some of the essential tips for interview preparation. The first is focus on presenting a positive, enthusiastic tone. If you're asked to describe a weakness, mention the lessons learned and steer away from negative descriptions. Think about 3 or 4 key points that you want to make about your personal characteristics, skills you have learned, and relevant experiences that demonstrate that you could perform the job well. Find specific rather than general examples from your experience that illustrate important points about yourself. When answering questions, focus on experiences that demonstrate flexibility, adaptability, responsibility, progress, achievement, creativity, initiative, and leadership. If the employer signals the end of the interview and asks you for questions and you haven't discussed some key points, clearly state in a confident manner that there are a couple of points which remain that I would like to mention. After the interview, write a brief thank you letter, express your appreciation for the opportunity to interview and learn about the organization, reconfirm your interest and re-emphasize how your background and skill might be of interest to the organization. Now let's take a look at the broad types of interview questions. You can expect to be asked some of the following types of questions in an interview. These might be case questions, behavioral or situational questions, role play related questions, industry-specific questions or brain teasers. So the first type of broad type of questions is the case questions. These are often used by consulting companies to assess analytical and problem-solving skills. The interview in this case presents a situation and asks you to discuss the possible solutions. A sample case question is, describe a financial company that you think is successful and explain why. What do they do that works? What are their potential problems? What is your outlook for their future? What suggestions do you have for their future? Let's move on. Behavioral situational questions are used to assess how you would behave in different circumstances and to predict your behavior in future similar situations. An interviewer may ask, tell me about a time when a team you are working on was unable to proceed due to some interpersonal conflict. How did you respond and what role did you play on the team? The next type is the role play questions. In this type of questions entail the interviewer asking you to put yourself in another role and decide how you would handle a specific problem. So let us say you've been a manager in a BPO and you've been a manager for the last 3 years, and this particular company that you have been interviewed for is a high-end KPO. So it's not a BPO, it's a high-end role. So they might ask you that if given the opportunity, how would you handle a high-end KPO role? Industry-specific questions are the next type. These are questions regarding the latest trends or issues in the industry. An interviewer may ask, if you were a CEO of Microsoft's main competitor, what actions would you take in the online services market? The next type is the brain teaser, which actually are puzzles or riddles or lateral thinking, which is thinking out of the box kind of riddles. These are quick questions where the obvious answer is not necessarily the right answer, such as, which would you rather receive, 50,000 pennies or a 10 by 10 by 10 room filled with pennies? So certain interesting questions like those are becoming common nowadays. The next type is the general questions, which include aspects or questions like, tell me about yourself, how would you rank your achievements, how would your friends describe you, what are the most important things to you in a job, how would you describe your management style. Other questions in this context include, describe the ideal position in your company, what would you like me to know most that is not in your resume, why are you qualified for this position, or how are you qualified in this position? Give an example of how you worked on a team. What questions do you have about the organization? Now let's take a look at the objectives behind the essential preparations for a telephonic interview. Till this particular moment, we've been focusing on a face-to-face kind of an interview. Now we shall look at the important aspects of a telephonic interview. The idea behind a phone interview is to gain an invitation for a personal interview and to gather more information for future steps in the process. Telephone interviews, also known as telephone screening interviews, are a convenient way for employers to narrow the pool of applicants to be invited for in-person interviews. Let's look at the objective of the phone interview. Phone interviews are more efficient and minimize the expenses involved in interviewing out-of-town candidates. So, for example, if you have, the headquarters of a prominent company like, a manufacturing company in Mumbai, and you have the plant somewhere else, you have, set up interviews in other towns as well, but it is not possible for the core team to travel to those towns to meet those candidates or to the cities. So in this context, you have to have a telephonic round of interview. For example, if people are applying from Nasik, if they are applying from Aurangabad, if they are applying from Pune, if they are applying from other states such as Gujarat or MP or Kerala or other pan India. So in this case, a telephonic round of interview is much more economical in terms of cost as well as time saving. For job seekers, the objective of phone interview is to establish a rapport with the interviewer. So you cannot see the interviewer in person, but over the phone, it is the first interview, post which you will be, if you clear that interview, you will be subjected to a series of interviews. So in this context, it's extremely important to establish the required rapport. Let's also now understand the calling procedures. Employers typically prefer to call candidates at their convenience and will arrange the interview time accordingly. However, employers may ask a candidate to call them to test how serious they are. If you receive a call from an employer at a bad time, ask if you can call the employer back in 10 minutes or so in order to position yourself in a location which is free from distraction. So be honest, if, for example, there was this one time when a candidate was visiting a railway station. He was going to the railway station to pick up his relatives, and one of my colleagues had called him. So the person was not candid enough to explain that it was not the right time. He kept on talking, but there was no clarity from his point. There was a lot of constant chaos happening, a lot of background noise. So the interviewer had to ask him whether you are at a fish market or whether you are, at a railway station or a bus stand, and eventually he said yes. So that led to some embarrassment from the candidate side and of course waste of time for the recruiter. So it's a good practice to be candid, be frank, and tell the recruiter that yes, it's a bad time currently, I'm busy, and you should actually think from the perspective of the interviewer. You should say that I don't mind speaking to you at this time as well, but you would be disturbed by the background sounds or the noise. So in order for us to have a fruitful conversation, let me call you in some time where we can speak, in a more efficient manner. It's better to ask to reschedule than to come across unprepared. If there is a chance that you might miss an unexpected call from an employer, make sure your voicemail message is clear and professional. When rescheduling, remember to request a time that will also be convenient to the employer. Try to avoid arranging the interview too early in the morning or late on Friday afternoons. Remember to always clarify what time zone, the length of the interview, and who will be conducting the interview. Occasionally, there will be more than one person conducting the interview, so you need to check on all these aspects. In the context of preparation, other useful things being, you need to keep a pad, a pen, and a copy of your resume near the phone. Use a phone in a quiet area. Avoid any background noise. Also, avoid using a cordless phone because they tend to transmit poorly. You want to present yourself as professional as possible. So always understand whether you are having a clear line, whether there is any imminent background noise which needs to be reduced, and so on. In this context, it's a well-researched fact that most people don't prepare for screening telephone interviews as rigorously as they do for face-to-face meetings. Thus, what happens is, as a consequence, the failure rate is extremely high. So prepare for a telephone interview just as you would for a traditional face-to-face interview. Now let's look at certain finer points in preparation of a telephonic interview, the do's. So one thing that we need to do is practice, like we've discussed practice many times before. It's no different in the case of a telephone interview. Use a voice recorder to get an idea of how others hear you on the phone, or have a mock telephone interview at the career center or any, you know, with your any friend. Dress in a professional manner. If you're dressed for business, both your language and paralanguage will convey greater professionalism. Language is nothing but you know, the words that you utter, the way you speak. Paralanguage will be the supporting non-words, that is certain sounds that are emitted, like the these are nothing but the paralanguage. Choose professional clothing that you will be comfortable wearing. So it's extremely important to do so. Again, like a face-to-face interview, research the organization and have a pen and paper ready for note taking. Let's move on. The other do's include warm up your voice and practice smiling. A smile can be heard over the telephone. In fact, when I was a part of Wipro a long way back at the start of the career, initially Wipro had, you know, outsourced certain they had taken in certain outsourced processes. So a part of Wipro was Wipro SpectraMind, or Wipro BPO as it is called now, where they were BPO people, okay, wherein they used to come in the night shifts to cater to the US clients. So as no clients used to come to the company directly, so these people were allowed to wear casual clothes. But after a couple of months, it was observed that many of the agents were too casual on the phone and professionalism was missing. So they were forced to have a semi-casual appearance, and automatically after a few months, quite a lot of them sounded more professional than the initial. So a phone, you know, over a phone, the tone and the smile both need to be portrayed. A professional clothing promotes a professional tone of voice. Keep your resume or CV, cover letter, career portfolio and job advertisement in clear view. If possible, have pictures and bios of the interviewer in front of you, so you will get a picture, or you will understand who the person is that's interviewing you. Have a short list of your accomplishments available to review. A few other do's include the preparation of a short list of questions about the job and the organization. So in a previous chapter, we've seen a few of the commonly asked questions. So you can, you know, prepare this. Have a calendar available should you be asked to schedule another interview. Ensure interview materials are strategically laid out and that you are familiar with them. Certain other do's include, no employer wants to hear shuffling of papers. So keep a desk that's clean and not cluttered. Keep your documents neatly, and please ensure that you don't shuffle papers. It's disturbing to the ears of the interviewer. Turn off call waiting so you are not interrupted, because any of your friends or any other people might call you. So the call waiting might create beeps which might disturb you. Close the door and ensure the interview location is free of distractions, like if there are certain children in the house, if there are pets, if there are honking noises outside, the horns, you need to, you know, free yourself of such distractions. Turn off your stereo and television, which might be another source of distraction. Have a clock nearby to monitor the time you have remaining in the interview. Respect the time parameters set by the interviewer. In this context, if the interviewer has mentioned that the interview would last for half an hour, ensure that your questions are in the same way and you try to finish it in that particular time. Let's have a few more do's. Have a glass of water by the phone in case your throat gets dry. Speak slowly, clearly and directly into the phone receiver. This would enable the interviewer to listen clearly to you. Your voice would go clearly through the receiver. Enunciate your words, that is, use proper pronunciation of the words. Use correct grammar and complete sentences. Be careful with the tone of your voice. It's your visual representation. Okay, so make sure you sound interested, confident and capable. As a smile goes across the telephone, as mentioned in a previous slide, so is your confidence, your interest in the subject and your enthusiasm, as well as the capabilities. These other critical elements are also, you know, they also get to travel across the telephone and are noticed by the person who's listening into you. Smile so your friendliness can be heard. Address the interviewer by name. If more than one person is interviewing, know who asked you the question and address the answer to that person and their possible interests. Repeat the question if necessary to clarify your response. Sit up erect at a desk or table or consider standing. What this does is it has a positive effect on your voice. Your voice may sound stronger and more alert in this particular case. If you're slouching, automatically your sound might seem very, you can say, disturbed or very relaxed. So you don't want that to happen. The next is pace the call. So let the caller do most of the talking without interruptions. Accordingly, set your own pace. Reaffirm your qualifications and end with a strong closing, and express your interest in the job and in the organization. The next point is to ask the interviewer at the end of the conversation where you stand and what the next step will be. So it's extremely important to understand how you fared in this particular interview. Examples being timeline, second phone interview, arranging an on-site interview, etc. If things sound good to you, say so. The interviewer cannot see you, so he can't read your body language. Some other do's would be thank the interviewer for the opportunity, request contact information for follow-up questions, and thank you letter submission. As with all interviews, ask for the job, restate your interest and desire to move up to the next level. So there's some level, some amount of cajoling, there's some amount of convincing there as well, in a very subtle manner, because you've done a lot of hard work. If things have gone well, why don't we candidly ask whether we've got the job? So you can request the person, show commitment that you are the right fit for this particular job. Now we've seen extensively the do's during the telephonic interview. Let's look at certain don'ts. Don't smoke, chew gum, eat or drink. These actions have their own repercussions. The problems are that your voice will be not clear and the person at the other end will instantly recognize that you have something in your mouth. Avoid the overuse of the following words, and like. This habit is especially noticeable on the phone, and eliminating it takes practice. So it's a requisite that you don't use such words. These are called as verbal crutches. So these are certain verbal crutches, means a help to you, because if you don't have the right thought flow, you substitute your thought flow with such verbal crutches. This shows a lack in the confidence. This shows that you are not thinking on your feet. There's a lack of thought process. So people who are adept at interviewing will immediately pick up your lack of knowledge, lack of confidence. Okay, if you're not prepared well when you're using a lot of verbal crutches like these. The next don't is avoid the simple yes or no response. Add selling points at every opportunity by backing up your answers with specific examples from previous work and or educational experience. So if the prospective boss or if the interviewer asks you, are you good at leadership? So the answer should not just be a yes or a yeah. It should be yes, I am definitely good at leadership. In fact, the span when I was in a typical manufacturing company from 2000 to 2006, I was in charge of the social activities there along with my leadership. There I was leading this particular social endeavor, which had 500 employees from our company under me. So there I was actually working towards certain aspects of improving communication of our team members, helping people from different villages, leading 7 endeavors that I did. So you should answer in this manner. Do not mention compensation on the telephone. Never do that, because there are other rounds to do so. So this conversation typically comes at the end of the interviewing and not during the telephone interview stage. As we've come to know, the telephonic stage is not the final stage. It's just a screening which needs to be done before you are interviewed by the actual people or the other rounds of interviews. Now we shall look at what preparation needs to go in after the telephone interview has been conducted. In this context, it's mandatory or essential to take notes about what you were asked and how you answered. So it's important for you, because this round is not the last round. You might meet the same person in a face-to-face interview. So it's essential that you know what you've spoken on the telephone. It's essential that you have, you know, a memory, a clear memory. You remember things well. And if you note things down, it's quite simple for you to recollect. Evaluate the conversation to improve your performance in future phone interviews. Follow up with a thank you note that reiterates your interest in the job. So it's extremely important to do this. We've seen this many times before as well. Other points which are included for the process after the telephonic interview is to send any requested material immediately. So if any references are requested, if some work certificate is asked for, please send it immediately. Employers are conducting telephone interviews with greater frequency and use them as a screening process. So take them seriously, prepare thoroughly, and remember that your goal is to set up a face-to-face type of an interview. Now we've got or developed a good understanding of telephonic screening interviews. Let's end this particular topic with the benefits. Telephonic interviews have several benefits of you are enlisted here. They are cost effective and efficient, often giving standardized questions used to differentiate between candidates who appear similar on paper, helpful in determining the organizational fit of a potential candidate, an easy method for the employer to check if the candidate is affordable and available, and convenient screening devices for out-of-town applicants. So friends, in this way we've completed this chapter where we focused on what the interviewer wants, or interviewing, preparing from the perspective of the interviewer. In this, we've seen various phases where preparation is important. We've seen the broad type of questions which are there, and most importantly, we've seen a form of interview which acts as a screening, which is the telephonic interview type, and how you're supposed to prepare for this type and what the benefits are. Thank you.